In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen. Christos voskrese. Christos anesti. Already we are on the first Sunday after Pascha, or some people count it as the second Sunday of Pascha, St. Thomas Sunday. And I actually spoke about this yesterday, but I didn't record it properly. So I want to tell you about some significant things about this day. This is a feast of the Lord, and there's some liturgical things. But the most important thing is this, that the doors are open all week long on Pascha. All the doors to the altar. And then they're closed during Vespers last night. According to the tradition our Vladika Peter has given us, at the first Ikaron of Lord, I Have Cried, it mentions while the doors were shut. So we shut the doors at that time. And that's a sad moment. It always is a sad moment for me. It's, to be honest with you, I think it's a moment that nobody, no Christian should miss. You should want to come to St. Thomas Sunday Vigil as much as you want to come to Pascha. Because we need both. We need the joy of Pascha, but we also need the reality of the kind of people we are. Because we're trying to not be those kind of people. We're trying to become full of grace, full of life, full of peace, full of God. Pascha allows for that. Pascha makes that possible. But we know that life is full of difficulties and hardships and forgetfulness and all the rest. And so we need to remember what kind of people we are. And so that's why we close the doors. The doors are open, first of all, to show that God's grace is poured out upon mankind in the resurrection. So that's symbolical, that the doors are open. In fact, that same symbolism is present in every single Vesper service or vigil service when the doors are opened and then the sensing is done. And then when the sensing is finished, the doors are closed. And that should remind us of the fall of man and of our fallen nature that is being restored as we speak by the resurrection and our participation in the resurrection. Remember, a lot of people were around at the time the Lord was resurrected, and some didn't change one iota. In fact, they were even worse. We just read in the Acts how after the resurrection and seeing so many thousands of people coming to the faith, the rulers were filled with jealousy. So the resurrection doesn't affect everybody. It only affects those who live according to it. And so this is why we close the doors, to recognize that we must live according to the resurrection and to acknowledge that we're not completely. So still, this is to the time of great joy, saying Christ is risen when we greet one another, singing Christ is risen many times in the services, wearing white, and the fasting is less. All those things during this period are to remember the joy of the resurrection. But don't forget that you need to be changing and always be dissatisfied, always. That doesn't mean you're unhappy, doesn't mean you're sad, but you should always be dissatisfied with the person you are. It's important. You shouldn't be happy with the person you are. You should think, I'm not what I should be, because you're not like Christ enough. So there always should be this sort of holy dissatisfaction with your current state. But then your desire to change and this great hope within you that you will change. Now that's what happened with Thomas. He had a dissatisfaction and he even had doubt. But because he stayed with the disciples and did not abandon the Lord, then his doubts were resolved on the eighth day of the resurrection. So let's talk about Thomas a little bit. He is really a good example for us because he did things wrong and he did things right. But the things that he did right by far surpassed that which he did wrong. And that's just like us, or it should be just like us. A lot of things we do wrong. We have petty annoyances and jealousies and laziness and depression and indulgence, self-indulgence, and all the rest. We even have doubts many times about various things. And Thomas had doubts. But if we do what Thomas did, then those doubts will be erased. Now, he was really very, very presumptuous, very rude, saying he would not believe unless he saw the print of the nails and put his finger into the print of the nails, put his hand into his side. And that was presumptuous. That was rude. But the Lord doesn't mind that. Not if we have faith, because we're full of presumption and rudeness. But if we have faith, if we desire to be changed, and we do what we can, and as things are revealed to us, we do them, then God certainly will visit us. And that's what happened to Thomas. So he spent 8 days saying, I'm not going to believe. But there was inside of him, I think you should know Thomas, because Thomas is like you. I hope you know him. Inside of him, he wanted to believe. And there was a piece of him that did believe, absolutely. But there was just too much that was fantastic and impossible, and he just couldn't completely believe. But he stayed around. That's what you have to do. You stick around. You keep saying your prayers. You keep forgiving your brother. You keep fasting. You keep coming to the services. And a lot of times you don't see any progress, maybe in anything, for a long time. Perhaps some things change slowly. Perhaps you change something, and then at some other point in time, you go back to doing what you shouldn't have been doing. And you actually backslide. That happens to all of us, all that kind of stuff. But if we're like Thomas, we stay with the Lord. So he stayed with the Lord, that is, with the disciples who believed that the Lord was resurrected. But his heart felt like a stone, like a cold stone. But still, there was some warmth in it because he stayed. And of course, we know what happened. On the 8th day, the Lord comes in, blesses them, and then he specifically addresses Thomas. Now, of course, he also rebukes Thomas, because he says, blessed are those who have not seen and believed. I think maybe that applies to us, huh? We don't see the Lord, but you must feel him. If you don't see the Lord, you must feel him. And feeling him is actually more powerful than seeing. Remember the story about Lazarus and Abraham? And how the rich man says, go bring Abraham up to tell my brothers about all these things so that they won't come down in torment. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, and if they don't listen to them, they won't hear. So even if Abraham went to talk to the brothers, they wouldn't have believed, even though they saw it with their own eyes and heard it with their ears. You have to feel God in your heart. How are you going to do that? Well, you're going to have all the problems that Thomas had, probably other ones besides. But if you have a desire to be changed, if you have an ache in your heart for God, then God will visit you. Things will be changed. You'll get better. It's going to happen. It's guaranteed. You just have to stick it out. The road to perfection is walked by many, many imperfect steps. Not one of them is perfect. And yet, they all lead to perfection. And so that's the story of Thomas. That's what we should take to heart. And brothers and sisters, Pascha is a sort of strange time for a pastor. Because, yes, there is the joy of the resurrection. But as a pastor, I see sometimes that it is sort of a shallow joy for many people. It is a joy in terms of the basket and the foods and the services with the crying out, Christ is risen, truly he is risen. That's just on the surface. You must desire for God to touch your heart. And that's why Thomas was enlightened, because in the 3 years that God was with him, his heart was deeply touched. If you remember, Thomas was one of the ones that said, let us go and die with him. That's how deeply he loved the Lord. You must desire to have God deeply touch your heart. This is not an automatic thing. This doesn't just happen because of the resurrection or because of your baptism or because you're Orthodox or anything like that. This happens because you seek it and desire it. In the midst of all your difficulties, your problems, your sins, your weaknesses, everything. And that's why Thomas was enlightened, because he had a deep ache in his heart for the Lord. And the Lord fulfilled it. The Lord satisfied that hunger. Are you hungry? How hungry are you? What do you want above all else in this life? What gives your life meaning and purpose? The only truth in life is God. And the purpose of life is to know him intimately. So really, anything that does not help you know him intimately is really without meaning and without purpose. Do you really ache for God? If you do, then you're like Thomas. Do you have doubts? Do you have sins? Do you have things that set you back on your heels? If you do, then you're just like Thomas. And then your desire will be fulfilled just like Thomas's. You must cultivate this, brothers and sisters. It's critically important to cultivate this desire. It does not just magically appear in your heart. It must come from desire and cultivation of desire. It must come from reading, from prayer, from fasting, from attending the services with expectation, from forgiving your brother, from reestablishing every day what your priorities are for that day. And they always should be the same priorities. To follow the commandments, to know God, to become closer to him, to become more perfect. If you do those things, then God indeed will visit your heart. There won't just be the external joy. There will be joy in your heart that nobody can take away from you, that can never be taken away from you. External joy, things change. When God visits the heart and the heart cleaves to him, that doesn't change. So be like Thomas. We're already like him in our sins and in our imperfections. Let's be like him in virtue. Let's seek the Lord with all of our heart. Let's do everything we can to cultivate a love for him. And then he will indeed make his abode in our heart. And that is the fulfillment of the resurrection in man, when God lives with man. May God help us to attain this. Christ is risen.
Truly.